Natural Living with Gary Null, exploring the nature and politics of medicine, health, nutrition, and the environment. And now your host, Gary Null.
And welcome back, everyone. For those of you who've just joined us, I'm Gary Null, talking about issues that make a difference in our lives. In this segment of the program, I'm going to continue sharing thoughts that generally do not get much attention. I'm going to be sharing information of mice, money, and medical misconceptions, the truth about animal experimentation. And I want to give you this information because I feel that most people do not have this available. This is from the Americans for Medical Advancement. Then I'm going to look at Chernobyl children. No one's looked back. We should, because today we can see the effects of DNA damage on them. Also, I want to take you on a journey of low-level radiation in the United States. There was one woman, a scientist, Alice Stewart, who saw what would be happening. No one paid attention. What has happened? What dentists don't want you to know? I'll talk about that. Also, time permitting, I will also get to the latest report on mad cow disease. With all these assurances that it couldn't possibly happen here, well, think again. Then we'll look at some of the latest on what's actually in some of the newer vaccines that we were told are safer. And also a new variant of mad cow disease is striking young children. And some of the New Orleans patients exposed to a rare brain disease. Well, I'd like for our FDA to explain the difference between this rare brain disease and mad cow disease. And can you trust the government's database? And who plays with statistics? And how rarely are statistics accurate? Pesticides. Are you aware that they are the great hidden source of fluorides in our environment? And the top sweetener, NutraSweet, is condemned by a secret report. We haven't heard about that report. I'll reveal that report in its entirety in just a few moments. So let's go to each of these issues in turn. First, animal experiments. It's a big business. And imagine that everything you were told about animal testing was wrong. Through the years, society has been convinced that using animals for biomedical research is critical to our understanding and advancement of human medical knowledge. It's in the media, it's in our schools, and it's 100% untrue. In the next few moments, you'll be shown the unreliability of scientific measures used in animal experimentation by medical professionals. Americans for Medical Advancement is responsible for collecting the data for this report and shows the suffering of the animals. And these experiments are unethical, ill-conceived, and even promote human illness. There is indefatigable evidence that animal experiments provide misleading results that, when applied to humans, can prove tragic or fatal. And these tests exhaust research funding, waste valuable time, produce ineffective solutions, and delay progress towards human cures. You may be asking yourself, well, how can this be true, Gary? Well, listen on, and your most important questions will be answered about the medical dangers of animal experimentation and what it means specifically to you. Let's start just with some straight answers, and that's hard to get today. First, what drugs, or would drugs be safe for us without first being tested on animals? We're told absolutely not. You must test these. The FDA insists upon it. In point of fact, drugs would be safer than they are now if the animal testing phase was eliminated. When researchers administer potentially useful substances to animals, they get plenty of feedback on the substance's effectiveness in the species tested. However, results nearly always differ dramatically between species, and there are no reliable methods of predicting a human reaction. Substances that could save many human lives are not approved because they are harmful to animals, and substances that are therapeutic in animals get approved, later harming and sometimes killing humans. Now, if you listen to an earlier report that I did in an investigative reporting series called Iatrogenic Disease, I showed that minimally, absolutely the rock bottom most conservative estimate of how many Americans die each year from properly given drugs is over 100,000. And that's approximately 15% of all hospital admissions are caused by adverse medical reactions. A more realistic figure is closer to 300,000 Americans are dying. In one decade, more than half of all newly approved medications were either withdrawn or relabeled by the FDA after severe, unpredicted side effects. And all of those medications had undergone extensive animal testing and had been approved. Many of our most popular drugs, aspirin, Tylenol, ibuprofen, Motrin, can be extremely detrimental to animals. So there is justifiable concern that animal tests are preventing us from acquiring much-needed medication. That's according to a Dr. Dollery. Well, and I'm taking a purely orthodox look at this. I'm not even including an alternative perspective. Computers enable scientists to design and test new medications, and though they may never be able to replicate a human patient completely, they will always reap more accurate findings than an entire different species, like rats. Medical computers, such as the ones now available, are designing new drugs and not having to use animal models. And while the popular press fervently reports supposed progress towards human cures derived from animal experiments, they fail to mention the downside. Our metabolism is unique, and animal results can never accurately predict human results. So let's look at number two. If we don't use animals, what will we use? Well, this statement falsely assumes that animal experiments have been responsible for medical advances in the past. However, the real benchmarks of medical progress have relied on the following non-animal methodologies, as well future developments. In vitro research, that means test tube research, on living tissue has been instrumental in many of the great discoveries. Though human tissues have not always been employed, it has always been available. Blood, tissue, and organ cultures are the ideal test beds for testing the efficacy and toxicity of medication. Epidemiology is the study of human populations to determine factors that could account for disease prevalence or immunity. Combined with genetic research, another non-animal method enumerated here, it provides very accurate information about whole systems. Then we have bacteria, viruses, and fungi. They reveal basic cell properties. And human autopsy and cadavers are used to clarify diseases and teach operating techniques for fracture repair, spine stabilization, ligament reconstruction, among other procedures. Then genetic research has elucidated how certain genes may be associated with various diseases. Clinical research on patients provide an accurate human response to various treatments when we can attribute most of our fundamental knowledge of disease and our current hospital care to clinical research. Then you have mathematical and computer modeling. It's a complex research method that employs mathematics to simulate living systems and chemical reactions. And treatments for breast cancer and other diseases have come about as a result of this kind of research. And then you have their advanced technologies. And the advanced technologies all help us with CAT scans and PET scans and ultrasound and blood gas analysis and blood chemistry analysis and arterial catheters and electron microscopes and monitoring devices and lasers and operating room equipment and pacemakers and electrocardiograms and electroencephalograms and bone and joint replacements and artificial organs, etc. Now, another issue is technically humans are animals, so what's the big difference, they say? Whereas all animal cells have the same basic properties, nucleuses, ribosomes, etc., we now know that it's the tiniest cellular idiosyncratic behavior that prompt different reactions to food, environment, and medications. Failed results from animal experimentations have proven that the smallest variables can prevent disease in one species while enabling it in another. And because every cell is somewhat different, not all cells react alike. The smallest biological differences between humans and animals can lead to lethal errors when applied to laboratory data. Now, what about the argument that animal experimentation is indispensable as our only model of intact metabolic systems? Well, that assertion suggests that in vitro research methodologies, though valuable, cannot predict what will happen in a whole living system, which is true. But history has proven that results in lab animals are even more inadequate, predicting results solely for the animal tested, not humans. And given that metabolic processes differ greatly between species, information garnered in animal experiments has no predictive value and is wholly unscientific when applied to humans. Very often, substances that have proven effective in animals demonstrate no curative value for humans, sometimes even causing harm. And by using in vitro research and new technology, we can simulate the living, intact human far better than a lab animal can. All drugs must eventually be tested on humans, and those humans are every bit the lab's creatures that animals are. These clinical phases of drug testing, as they're called, submit human volunteers to what are at first very incremental dosages, monitored, and then they're getting their reactions, and then slowly increasing the dosage. Well, clinical testing and subsequent non-animal methods, such as epidemiology and post-marketing drug surveillance, provide what the lab can't, more accurate measures of human metabolic processes. Then the question is, how can we know that medications will not cause birth defects without testing them on animals? Well, the medical principle called Karnofsky's law states that any substance can be teratogenic, meaning causing birth defects, if given to the right species, at the right stage in development, and in the right dose. Common table salt or even water can be teratogenic to some species in certain circumstances. Therefore, science has already told us that any medication can cause birth defects in some creatures. In addition, agents that are teratogenic to some species may have little or no teratogenic effect to others. Of 1,200 chemicals that cause birth defects in animals, only 30 out of 1,200 were proven to affect humans. A respected treatise on birth defects plainly states, because substances cross the placental membrane by a number of mechanisms, some different in species, it may be completely unpredictable as to what it will do in a human. Rats, popular lab animals, have been shown to get birth defects from almost every single chemical that causes birth defects in humans, but they also get birth defects from hundreds of drugs that are safely used by humans. If chemicals that harm rats' offspring do not cause birth defects in humans, they are meaningless and non-predictive. So what is teratogenic testing in animals good for, and why does it continue? Well, let's listen to what a professor of obstetrics, Dr. D.F. Hawkins, says. He says, the great majority of perinatal toxicological studies seems to be intended to convey medical and legal protection to the pharmaceutical houses and political protection to the official regulatory bodies rather than the produce information that might be valuable in human therapeutics. As Karnofsky's law postulates, researchers can eventually inflict birth defects on a species with substances that are teratogenic in humans, but to what purpose? Non-predictive animal experiments are of no human value. They only deplete valuable research funding that might otherwise be of true medical value. Now, animal experiments and disease research, they'll argue, well, didn't the polio vaccine come from animal experimentation? Good question. Animal experimentation actually delayed this much-needed vaccine throughout the first half of the 20th century. When polio first appeared in 1835, it rapidly paralyzed and killed its victims. In 1908, a virus was suspected and scientists began working on a vaccine. In developing vaccines, it's crucial to determine how the infection enters the body. Luckily, pathologists discovered that polio vaccine poliovirus, I should say, in human intestines as early as 1912, suggesting entrance through the digestive tract. Meanwhile, researchers successfully infected monkeys with polio. But because monkeys contract polio nasally rather than orally, this so-called triumph only postponed the development of an effective vaccine for decades. Incredibly, the scientists working on the vaccine chose to ignore the human digestive data in favor of the monkey data. It is true that a vaccine was derived from animal experimentation, but manufactured from monkey tissue. The so-called cure resulted in 6 human deaths and 12 cases of paralysis. It was abandoned. Further animal experimentation led to the development of a nasal treatment, which only caused permanent olfactory damage to the children tested. In 1941, Dr. Albert Sabin studied human autopsies to finally disprove the nasal theory. He found the virus confined to the gastrointestinal tract, as had been documented nearly 30 years earlier. Sabin later denounced the monkey model blunder. He said, "Prevention was long delayed by the erroneous conception of the nature of the human disease based on misleading experimental models of the disease in monkeys." Finally, in 1949, Nobel Prize winner John Enders paved the way for a vaccine by growing the virus in tissue cultures. Though the vaccine would not have been produced from human tissue, convention prevailed and manufacturers opted to use monkey tissue instead. Containing the live virus, the animal-based vaccine infected 204 people with polio and resulted in 11 documented deaths. It also resulted in at least one virus, SV40, jumping the species barrier and infecting an enormous amount of the human population. Because of that, the polio vaccine is now grown in human diploid cell culture rather than animal tissue. Well, they'll argue, didn't penicillin come from animal experimentation? Actually, it's a fact that animal tests significantly sidetracked development of this important drug. In 1929, Alexander Fleming observed penicillin as it killed bacteria in a petri dish. Intrigued, he administered the compound to bacteria-infected rabbits, hoping it would do the same. And it almost didn't come at all. Unfortunately, penicillin was ineffective against the rabbit's infection. And disappointed, Fleming set the drug aside for a decade, as the rabbits had proved in his mind the drug was useless as a synthetic medication. Years later, he administered the drug in desperation to a dying patient for whom all other treatments were ineffectual. The penicillin performed a miracle, and the rest is history. Fleming might have thrown penicillin away had he done his initial test on guinea pigs or hamsters, as it would have killed those species. Fleming later admitted that misleading results from animal testing almost prevented discovery of the entire field of antibiotics. It was in vitro research, meaning in a test tube, that allowed Fleming to observe penicillin as it killed bacteria. Today, the same type of research allows physicians to select appropriate antibiotics for patients with bacterial infections, and even aid in the discovery of new vaccines or antibiotics. As I've mentioned many times, antibiotics, penicillin, was one of the major medical discoveries. It's just been grossly overused. It has been used in conditions that are not realistic, and as a result has harmed and caused superinfections which have killed people. After all, if you get penicillin or an antibiotic prescription for cold or flu, that's just quackery. But done appropriately, it can save a life. They'll argue, well, Gary, weren't lab animals responsible for the discovery of diabetes and the development of insulin? Well, just like polio and antibiotics, wrong again. Pro-animal experiment contingencies always cite the development of insulin as support for continued animal testing, asserting that insulin harvested from slaughterhouses saved the lives of many diabetics. There's only partial truth to this, but across the board, animals used in diabetes research have been unnecessary. There are probably, and no one knows accurately because not everyone has had their blood checked, there are probably about 15 million Americans right now suffering from diabetes. And that's going to lead to blindness, amputation, kidney failure, and premature death, and heart disease. Physicians in the late 18th century first linked the disease with characteristic changes in the pancreas seen at autopsy. As this was difficult to reproduce in animals, many scientists disputed the pancreas' role in the disease. When they removed the pancreas of dogs, cats, and pigs, the animals became diabetic. But their symptoms led researchers to conjecture that diabetes was a liver disease, throwing diabetes research off track for decades. In 1922, outraged scientists spoke out against the animal experiments that many were claiming had proven the existence of insulin. They pointed out that human autopsy had in fact shown the pancreas to be the vital organ in diabetes, and that in vitro research had isolated insulin, not animal experiments. Scientists later modified the in vitro process they had used to isolate insulin, successfully mass-producing pig and cattle insulin reaped in slaughterhouses. This animal-derived insulin indeed saved lives, but not without complications. It also created allergic reactions, exposed patients to serious health risk, including viruses from the pigs and cows. Had they recognized these dangers, scientists would have hastened to develop human insulin. Insulin is only a treatment for diabetes, not a cure. And the exact biochemical process through which insulin regulates blood sugar is yet to be discovered. If the dollars devoted to studies had gone to human research, will we still have this plague? And so it goes. I wanted to give you this just as some background, including one last one. Didn't all Nobel Prize winners in medicine and physiology experiment on animals? That's a big one they give. Yes, most did. That's true. But it doesn't follow that the discoveries would have not occurred without animals. It only meant that the market for lab animals was thriving and accessible. From the second half of the 19th century forward, experimenting on animals became part of all medical curricula. Therefore, researchers were obliged to perform animal experiments to earn their degrees. In the instances wherein animals were used for the Nobel-winning results, they were not necessary. Though animal tissue research was the convention, human tissue was available and more viable, as many Nobel winners have since remarked. And they'll argue one last time, don't all doctors support the concept of animal experimentation? No. If consulted privately, most physicians will admit that they study human data, not animal data, to determine how best to treat their patients. Professionals are hard-pressed to provide examples of the human medical contribution of animal experiments. The Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine and the Medical Research Modernization Committee are two physician-based organizations that agree that experiments on animals do not lead to cures for human disease. Animal experimentation has an extensive history, employing tens of thousands of people at some of the world's largest corporations, and medical facilities are infused with a steady influx of public relations produced by animal experimentation facilities, all devoted to maintaining the status quo. If nothing else, animal experiments provide data. While most findings bear no relevance to humans, pharmaceutical companies promote animal testing as the quintessential safety net, falsely assuring the legitimacy and effectiveness of medications upon which physicians greatly rely. In this litigious climate, pharmaceutical companies would be reluctant to release a drug that had not been tested on animals. I'm Gary Nall. Looking at the clock, we're out of time for another program. I want to thank you very much for listening. We'll continue sharing more on health and nutrition tomorrow.
Gary will be with you in just a moment.
Thank you.
What is it, just my program everybody takes their lunch break on? The engineers and everyone?
No, Gary, I'm sitting in for Michael G. today. He had a prior appointment, so I thought you were going to be on for an hour today.
I am on
for an
hour.
Okay.
But you see, I did half the show yesterday. That's what's happening in our fundraising. I'm doing half-hour segments and editing them into a one-hour program for all the other dozens of non-commercial stations across the country to hear the show.
Very kind and thoughtful of you.
Is Matthew with us today?
Yes, he is. He will be in the studio shortly.
Okay, now, do we go to 1 o'clock today, is it?
Yes, we go to 1 o'clock today, and Armand DeMille comes on at 1 o'clock.
All right, then I'll save the second part of our presentation for tomorrow. And I also have a guest tomorrow.
You have a guest tomorrow?
Yeah, we're going to be talking tomorrow about detoxification, A to Z. And so everybody who's interested in cleaning up their body for this summer, now would be a nice time to take down this information.
All right.
And how are you today, Matthew? How did we do yesterday, Matthew?
Oh, boy, I wish I could tell you. I don't know. I think we did, it was sort of a blitz. We were trying to work very quickly yesterday. I think we did in the neighborhood of 5. I'm really not positive at this point.
That's terrific.
I didn't check the final numbers. But we have, as you said, just a few minutes here in order to raise some funds on our last Friday of the fundraising drive. And Gary will be very busy in the next week. So we really want to try to open up the door as widely as possible at this time for those of you listening to Natural Living so that you can make your pledge to WBAI. You can celebrate the much ballyhooed ending of the drive sometime next week. And we can possibly get on with some content-driven programming in the near future. 212-209-2950 is the number to call for your pledge of support. Again, the basic membership, as you know, is $50. But we have these amazing packages that Gary has put together for those of you who can make the higher pledges, the premium pledges, a $50 basic membership. If you tack another $25 onto that as our thanks, you will get what has been the most popular of all the premiums offered by Gary Nell through this period, and that is the joy of juicing, the revolutionary joy of juicing, completely revised, completely rewritten book by Gary Nell and Shelley Nell. That's available to you with our thanks as we head into the summer for those of you who can make the pledge of $75. And, of course, we were talking yesterday at length about the those tape packages, those lecture packages. These are very, very important, partly because Gary, with Gary's schedule and his travel, he is not doing the lecture circuit in nearly the scale that he did even 2 years ago. So these are becoming more and more, I don't want to say collectible, but more and more important because he's not doing that many lectures these days. These are two sets. Each of them available to those of you who can make the $200 pledge will thank you with these, each of them 10 hours long. And it's your choice, either the women's health package.
Not 10 hours.
Oh, not 10 hours.
Almost 20 hours. Some of these are 2 hours each. The tapes are different lengths, but almost all of them are between an hour and a half to 2 hours. So these are not just one-hour tapes.
Okay, well, this is acres of time. This is at least 15 up to 20 hours.
Oh, yeah, just the one on breast cancer. One on breast cancer is 2 hours. The one on women reversing their aging. By the way, that's they don't come separate. We have had so many calls, hundreds of calls and emails saying, can I just get that one tape? No, they come as a set, 10 set, and you're going to want all of it. The one that there's actually three that people have said the most about, and I don't think it's because they know that all the other ones, what all the other ones contain. But here's the most popular one, and it's a big one. It's over 2 hours. I take you on a journey of your body at the level of hormones and telomeres and chromosomes, and I show you why you're getting older. What happens between 30 and 35, 35 and 40. And each 5 years, as your body ages, it goes through changes. What are these changes? What's actually happening? And why does the skin start to sag and it gets loose around the neck? And you start to forget things. Your hair starts to thin. You start to get some graying. First, you'll color it if you're the average person, or you'll pluck it, or you'll do something. But in time, it's just too much of it. And then the wrinkles across the forehead and around the eyes. And someone will say, well, those are just character lines. Well, that's a nice way of saying it. There are some unnice ways of saying it. But the reality is that these are things that are happening in our bodies. And we can do something about it. And we can reverse the aging process. We can slow it down. We can reverse it. And in this tape, I show you how to actually repair the damage to the DNA, change the DNA, something that right now medicine and science says cannot be done. They're right. They cannot do it. They're wrong. It can be done. We've done it. And I've worked with over 10,000 men and women in the last 10 years in health support groups, and over half of those have been in anti-aging support groups. And these people today are living testament. In fact, just this morning, a individual came by my office and was seeing someone else about something, and I was just leaving to do the show. And I looked up and I said, you were in the health support group. She said, yes. Said, twice, she said. And she was in the anti-aging group, and then she was in the hair study group. She said, I was in 3 years. And I said, what's changed? And she said, well, she said, I have no more wrinkles. My fingernails and toenails, they used to be weak and chipping and all the time. And my toenails in particular were yellowed and discolored and chipping. They're all pink and hard and perfect. She said, I had aging spots all over my hands. They're gone. I had aging spots from being in the sun when I was younger on my neck and back and forehead. She said, they're all gone. She said, my hair was gray. About half my hair is gray. Now I have no gray hair. It's all back into its auburn color. I don't color my hair. She said, my gums were loose. They're tight. I had arthritis. It's gone. Fatigue is gone. I sleep about 5 hours a night. I used to sleep 8 and still be tired. I used to have intestinal parasites. I don't have them. And she said, I used to be about anywhere from 10 to 15 pounds overweight any given time, always struggling. Now, she said, I'm at the perfect weight. And she said, I'm feeling great. I said, how old are you? And she said, well, she says, my biological age is 40. My chronological age is 58. And she said, and I learned that we could reverse that. And she says, I've been doing everything I'm supposed to do. And she says, sure enough, every year, she keeps getting these tests taken, and she gets younger and younger. And also, she went back to school, and she got her degrees, and now she's in a whole new career, which she really appreciates, which is math. Now, all this happened in less than a five-minute conversation, because that's why I had to run over to do the show. That's one person. Think of all the things in your life that you've adapted to because you never thought it could get any better. It can get better, just on the aging level, for all the women in this audience who've gone through or are going through or facing menopause. You can change that completely. You can change your hormones. You can get it back to normal, DHEA, estrogen, progesterone. You can get it different. Human growth hormone, all can be re-stimulated. I give you the actual protocols. If I told you to take 3,000 milligrams of a particular amino acid because it helps stimulate the pituitary gland to release human growth hormone while you're sleeping, that will help you. That's all in the tapes. For men, I've got so much information also that can help. In fact, men can benefit from the women's tapes too, because a lot of the conditions are virtually the same, like diabetes, arthritis, depression, weight control, building the immune system. All that's in the 10 steps. So the 10 steps to a healthier life for women, and it's a lot of hours, far more than 10, and it's available only and exclusively. It's not being offered anywhere else, as well as the 10 steps to a joyful and happy life. And I might mention, since I've been mentioning it on the air the last 2 days, I've had numerous people who were in those programs call, email me, and give me some insights, because I asked 2 days ago if anyone in the audience has made changes. I'd like to know about it. And then yesterday when I asked on the phone, evidently people were trying to get through, but there was some technical glitch. We couldn't get them up. So there were people who had made changes. Well, I got emailed, and at least 9 people emailed me who had gone through that 10 Steps to a Joyful and Happy Life series, from which I recorded these, and that's how I did them. I'd much rather record it in front of a live audience to see how it sounds, how it works. Let them come back the next week and see if it works for them. And it does. And they were telling me about all these. One woman, a professor, what is she, a professor at Yale, in one of the, I won't go further than that, told me about all the things that's changed in her life. So, because it gives you power to make changes. De-stressing your life, connecting with your essential self, choosing joy, resolving conflict, that's a big one. Conscious living, just being aware of the choices you make each day. Right now, we're not. We go through each day on automatic. Everything's automatic. What we eat and how we dress and how we bathe and what we read and what we watch on television and how we answer a phone and how we go to work and how we act at work and what we, all this is unconscious. I want people to be conscious again. So I have a whole 2-hour discussion on conscious living.
Well, we need some conscious supporting at this point. That package, again, your choice, either one of these two massive lecture series, 10 lectures over 10 hours, well over 10 hours from Gary Null. Each of them available with our thanks for those of you who can make the $200 pledge of support. Of course, there are other packages. If you can do the premium pledges for $75, that Joy of Juicing. And then there are those other books, the Food, Mood, Body Connection, or the Baby Boomer's Guide to Life, Getting It Right the Second Time Around. All of those available to you, and we have only about 22 minutes here before Armand DeMille comes along. Two callers have called in already. We want to see these phones stay lit as long as possible in this very brief pitching break for Natural Living this time out on this Thursday. So our number, once again, is 212-209-2950. Remember, you can make that pledge and get the package for other people. As Gary said, especially in the Women's Health series of lectures, there are some issues which are perhaps for some individuals more important than others, but you can get those lectures and send those that are of less import to you to people who need them more. So you can become sort of your own distribution machine for these lectures. Thank you for that second call. We really thank you for that third call. We really need to see these lines busy. Remember, you can make that pledge on the installment plan if that'll work for you, or you can use MasterCard, Visa, or American Express if that will work more more efficiently for you. Certainly that works more efficiently for the folks on this end here at WBAI. And you can also make your pledge for multiple packages. We've had a number of people calling in looking for the multiple packages. Thank you for that third call. And we're looking for it. Thank you for that fourth call. We want to keep this thing going as quickly as possible. As Gary said, he's going to be on the road some, so we're, you know, we're looking at only a few opportunities left for you to come on board, join BAI, join the Natural Living audience, and put your funds forward to support the ongoing work of this very important program. 24 years on this air at this time. So this is a vote as well for continuity and for the information coming your way every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 1 o'clock. Presented live as it can possibly be here at WBAI. Even when the man is on the road, he's trying to make it live with, you know, special links into the studio. Four people on the line, that's a good start, but we just need to keep this thing humming along. Again, those lecture series, these are very important, recorded live. They're available on audio cassettes, 10 lectures, the Joyful Happy Life or Joyful Healthy Life series of lectures, or the Women's Health series of lectures. Again, they're distinct sets of live recorded lectures, and they can be yours, either of them, your choice, for that $200 pledge right now. But there are also those books. You can get the Baby Boomer's Guide to Life and combine that with the Joy of Juicing book and make that $150 pledge, and those two are yours. You can get other things individually, such as that Joy of Juicing. Very important for those of you who don't have a juicer yet. Many of those recipes, and we're we're not just talking about juices here, but things that work for entrees, dressings, all the rest, can be adapted to the blender. But I suspect there are a lot of you out there who have purchased juicers or have received juicers as gifts on the holidays, birthdays, wedding presents and whatnot, and you have this marvelous contraption sitting up there in a cupboard somewhere and have really not learned to put it to use. This is the book that will let you you put it to use. Each of the recipes, each of the ingredients is specifically chosen for what it can do for your body, whether the issue is to cleanse the body or to fortify your liver, to fortify your eyes, to fortify your brain. Yes, it has the famous brain juice recipe on page 11 in there and some others besides. So this is very vital. Also, because this is a collaboration between Gary Null and his daughter Shelley Null, as a writer of cookbooks, has written especially about how to raise healthy children. So there is a whole attention in this book about how to make kids drinks and kids juices and smoothies and whatnot that young people will actually consume, so that you can start them off right, especially during the summer when it's hot, when it's sweaty, when kids are pouring all kinds of odious liquids down their gullets. You can find a way to give them something that's really healthy and good for them and inexpensive to boot. 212-209-2950. Seven people are on the line right now. We have room for five more of you if you want to call in right now. We're about 20 minutes away from Armand DeMille. We want to try to move this thing with alacrity today. I know it may not feel like summer, but the summertime is a coming. So our hope is that you can get us into these hot weather months with a pledge of support, so we can pay the air conditioning bill for one thing. There are some people who believe in air conditioning out there. I can see them. Now listen, if you're not being picked up just yet, fear not. They will get to you. This is great to see. The full board, Gary, is lit right now. People are calling in their pledge of support to the station for the various packages, for the basic membership, for the whole thing, the whole Megillah that is this listener-sponsored non-commercial radio station here in the fat part of the FM dial. The reason Null can do the kind of work he does and bring the kind of perspectives he does on the issues of health and the issues related obliquely even to health is because we are not under the thumb of vitamin companies or drug companies or pharmaceutical companies who may not particularly like the points of view expressed, because some of them may affect their bottom lines. And, of course, that is the bottom line to corporate America. Well, there is another way to do it. For 41 years, this station has somehow managed to do it, and it has always been with listeners like you coming through in the kinds of numbers that you are right now. Very, very strong showing we're seeing right now.
How are we doing right now?
We got about 10 people calling in.
That's
on
great.
The line. And if you're calling in...
We're up to the next last day for this show.
We're hoping to finish this thing up in proper fashion on time.
And by the way, I heard that we're doing very well overall. So we are making every effort to get there on time or ahead of time. In Washington, we were able to finish a week ahead of time. And we made our goal in KPFK in Los Angeles as well. So we're happy to hear that people care about the content mm-hmm. of the messages being offered. And that's really what it's about. And for people who care... We've given you the best we can. In fact, last night I was, where was it? God, I don't even know the date today. I don't know if it's the 31st or 1st or what day it is, because one day is running into the next for me because I'm cramming to get everything done before I take off this weekend. And, but I will be taking, by the way, I will be taking my portable unit with me, so I'll do the show every day I possibly can to get to a hookup that can feed off the satellite, which will be most days. But I already have original brand new shows you've never heard. If I should not be able to make it any place where I'm at in the world, you will hear a brand new show. So all that's taken care of. By the way, for those of you who've reached, try to call my office, my number has been changed. It was changed about 4 weeks ago. Not everybody knew that. And there have been no way to get the new number. Let me give you the new number, and you must precede this new number with the letter 1. You dial 1-646-505-4660. That's 1-646-505-4660. Now, that's number 1. But if you're dialing about a medical condition, and you're dialing because you have cancer or arthritis or heart disease or AIDS or anything else, don't. All right, because we are, even yesterday, I asked the person in my office who was answering the phones when I went in there in the afternoon, and she said, well, we still got about 300 calls today. Well, let me explain. With the schedule I have, I can only see terminally ill people. And I have more of those to see than what I can possibly see if I work 24 hours a day. There's still too many people dying who've been given up. And they have to deliver a letter from their doctor showing they're terminal, and they've been sent home to die. That's when I can see people. Otherwise, I get people with a toothache or people, you know, who've got a pimple on their butt. Say, Gary, what do you think of this pimple? And so that is not where I'm putting my energy. So any other time I have, I'm doing, I mean, you'd have to spend a day in my life to see what it's like to be on the air 16 to 18 hours, plus try to work out, plus try to, you know, write and do investigative reporting and run into the editing studios with my editors and to try to get the documentation working on going forward and to be on the phones trying to get the next scheduled shoot and all the other stuff that has to be done. It's just the cycle goes around. Now, mind you, these marathons are not all the time, but the moment this marathon stops on the weekend, PBS begins. It just, they work the schedule that way. So now it's off to 13 cities helping PBS, and then that finishes. Then off to all these other places in foreign countries helping them with their issues. So I'm trying to get as much of this accomplished as possible, so please do not call my office with any health problem whatsoever, because you can't get answered, and then people get nasty. Well, Gary didn't call me back. And there should be a little note saying, Gary was not born to call you back. All right? He doesn't wake up each day thinking, gee, what neurotic, psychotic, paranoid, delusional, schizophrenic can I call back today? We're going to do a show on electric pulsive therapy for all the wrong reasons.
For all the wrong reasons. Yeah. Well, there.
So I'll give you a number you can call. So here's what I've done. I've come up with a solution. After 2 years of interviewing dozens and dozens, over 400 people, by the way, I finally come up with some people I believe can make a difference, can help you, because they have both compassion, care, consciousness. They're qualified, they're board certified, and they're good. And they're all working over to a place that no one knows about. And I have personally gone over there. I personally, you know, looked at what they're doing and talked with them. And these are not like any of the other people you've seen in the holistic field, where it's just all about money and ego and everything else. Now, these are different guys. One guy's a Spanish guy who's very well qualified, who chose to work in an emergency room because that's where he said he can do the most good. That's a tough job to do. And now he's going to be working. There's people in gynecology and holistic wife nurse practitioners, good people. So call them. They're qualified. And they can take your call. And they can see you. I can't. I can only see terminally ill people, and I'm doing as much of that every day as I can. I mean, there are times at 4 o'clock in the morning I look up, and there it is, it's 4 o'clock. What am I going to do? Am I going to say I can't see the person who's been sitting there all day? What are you going to say to a person like that? You have to look to see what is involved. So you call them at 212-252-1942, 212-252-1942, and they will be able to direct you, guide you, help you, give you therapies. They do the vitamin C drips, the ozone, they do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they even have my protocols. And I even spent 7 hours with one of them over the last 2 weeks making sure when I challenged them they would understand the importance of these protocols, and they're smart and they're up to snuff. But please don't, no more health questions to my office. Please don't do that, because you'd have to see how overwhelmed that can be to one person taking your calls. And a lot of people in this audience are not nice. I mean, I'll tell you can't imagine that they would be listening to my show and be as negative and angry as they could be. But those are not the healthy people anyhow. Those are people clearly in their life should pay attention to the 10 steps to a joyful, happy life, because they've not taken certain proper steps. And now that all their decisions are made from frustration. You know what happens, Matthew, when people make their choices from frustration or anger or pain?
Well, I have a feeling they don't quite work out the way they planned.
It never helps. You know, it never helps to force your frustration down someone else's throat. They're not going to be happy about it. And so now that at least is a solution, because when I got on the road, And, you know, my office, you know, when I can reach him, says, gee, Gary, you got 1,000 calls. People want this, that, and the other per day. It used to be 5,000. 5,000 messages a day. And when I was on ABC, Mark Mason, the program director, used to bring in bags of mail. Sometimes we get 5,000 to 10,000 letters a day. In fact, they had an article in, I think, one of the papers where they stacked all the... And they said, well, how do you answer all this? Well, what they didn't see was every weekend, people, volunteers from this audience, sometimes as many as 50, would come there. We'd line all the mail up, open it up, and I'd be in the room, and they'd be asking me questions, and I'd give them answers, and then handwrite out the answers, send out to people, and we could frequently answer 1,000, 2,000 questions in a day, but it was a 16-hour day, and it was a Saturday, and then it was a Sunday, and then suddenly you're back to work, and it's Monday, and it's just nonstop. There are just too many people need help. That's why I wrote the books I wrote, because I can't sit and talk with every woman about her breast cancer or alternatives or what's wrong with tamoxifen or every woman who's going through menopause and what she's got to do and why she's having her her heart rhythms go up and why she suddenly developed tachycardia or was suddenly got a suddenly have a myocardial myopathy. But I can certainly put all that into a tape, and suddenly unlimited numbers of people can benefit from the tape, because the best that I would know, and I hold nothing back, I give you in that. That's the whole reason resources. That's the whole reason these premiums are existing. If it weren't for that, I'd just go out and tell the station, go get some other, you know, best-selling author and bring the book on, and I'll be happy to promote it on the air. The trouble is, I'm still going to get those calls. So this way, if the object of the exercise is this, Matthew, helping people help themselves,
mm-hmm.
helping people through crisis, helping people through difficulties, helping them through their suffering and pain, helping them overcome their conditions, whether it's emotional, spiritual, or physical, or medical, then you create resources. You start looking at the resources. The joy of juicing. You use that book for 6 months and see how many of those conditions you no longer have, because your body will detoxify. And it's a natural outshoot of that. But it's a fun way to detoxify. It's not one of these, you know, run off to, you know, Hippocrates and suck on a wheatgrass cube all day. It's just, it's fun. And the whole idea is make it fun. You know, this healing process shouldn't be a torturous process. It can be enjoyed. So that's one thing. For all the women who have diabetes, arthritis, fibromyalgia, fibrocystic breasts, uterine tumors, endometriosis, depression, candida, fatigue, chronic fatigue, premature aging, heart disease, macular degeneration, and cataracts, to mention some of the things, not all, the 10 tapes on women's road to health. So the women's tapes, 10 tapes of almost 15 to 20 hours, those provide answers. Answers, the same identical answer I would give you if you called me. They have them. For everyone who wants to start making better choices instead of reacting.
He'll be back.
That would be the 10 steps to a joyful, happy life.
Okay, and that is available to you with our thanks for those of you who can make the $200 pledge of support. People have been calling in, Gary, as you've been speaking, so we know the audience is out there, and we know they're picking up this information and going to their phones right now in our final few minutes here to make their pledge of support. Again, that number, 212-209-2950. All the various packages we've heard about, the Joy of Juicing package, that new book, a special run from the publisher, very important, a pre-release edition of the Joy of Juicing available to you first for your pledge of $75, as well as the other items that we've been hearing about, those two, and this is important, those two lecture series, not just 10 hours, but 10 full lectures, some of them as long as 2 hours alone. So we're talking about hour upon hour of lectures, the Women's Health set of 10 lectures, or the 10 steps to a joyful and healthy life set of lectures. Either one of those lecture sets available to you with our thanks for that $200 pledge. We have 5 people on the line. We can double that right now in our final few minutes here, and we will have done our job this afternoon in supporting WBAI, the natural Natural Living audience will have done its job as well. There's another one of you. This is wonderful to see the support coming in. Yes, there are only a few more opportunities for the Natural Living audience to come forward. It will be up to the rest of us today and tomorrow. It'll be up to the rest of us to try to pull us through to the finish line of this spring fundraising drive. But the push is really on at this point, and this is great to see. Eight people on the line right now, and we are able to take five more of you right now. There's a full complement of very strong folks in the tally room. I think they've been fed. We'll give thanks to that restaurant in the fullness of time later on this afternoon, folks who fed the good folks in tally. But they're ready to take your information. Again, if you can do it on a plastic, on a Visa, MasterCard, or American Express, that does speed things up. To make it even quicker, what you do is you have your card at the ready. Veteran folks who pledge support to BAI always do. You have your card at the ready as you go to your phone, so we can speed things up even more. It takes about 2 minutes, in the neighborhood of 2 minutes from the time you are picked up to the time you ring off and can get back to listening to the programming, and do it as a member this time of the radio station. Thank you for that eighth call. Just want to keep this thing rolling as long as we can. We want to get Armand DeMille off to a good start for another Positive Mind special, which will be taking us up until the 3 p.m. hour, at which time Talkback returns to the airwaves to take us all the way up to 6 p.m. If you're traveling through New York City and you are new to this kind of programming, new to Natural Living, and perhaps you don't, you're not in an area where Gary Null does broadcast, as he broadcasts in a lot of different cities, different configurations of the program. You can, of course, play catch-up by getting some of these packages, a whole range of them. You can call, ask the folks in the volunteer room. That number, again, 212-209-2950. You may be out of earshot of the program, given where you're going to be through the summer. But with these packages and these items, you will have the information to hand and at hand, and you'll be able to do some self-education, and you'll be able to share these with other people. That's very, very important when we talk about these lecture series. There may be specific points of interest that are not your point of interest. Maybe 8 out of the 10 topics covered in either of those lecture sets are the ones that are crucial to you, but I dare say you would know somebody who would benefit from the other two. That way you can get this and share the information. Shareware, I believe it is called. And you can spread the information around, the perspectives around, and do your part. Give other people some help, not just in the area of health and nutrition. This is very, very important. This is why we have packages like the Baby Boomer's Guide to Life or the 10 Steps, because it is not enough, sadly, just to give people information about health and nutrition if they don't have the inner mechanisms to actually put the information to work. That's a whole other nut to crack.
And let me mention, sure, as far as the Baby Boomer's Guide, I mentioned that this was my follow-up book. I did not mean that it would be a follow-up book in the sense of expanding upon the life energies. Rather, for those people who've been able to define from the earlier book, who are you really, which life energy you are, this allows you to go to the level of being on the up end of that life energy, making positive choices. You can be the right energy. You can be the energy you were meant to be and live on the downside. We see the downside of people all the time. It's about the conscious choices they make. So that's why in the 10 Steps to a Joyful Life, and even in the Baby Boomer's Guide to Getting It Right book, I talk all about how to make better choices. And life, in the end, is about the choices we make. How many times in life have you just made the wrong choice? You just make the wrong choice. It's interesting. Last night, at the end of the day, I was just wanting to get a bite to eat. I hadn't eaten all day. I'd gone, been on the radio and had done, been overnight on Roy of Hollywood, so there was just no time. So I went for a walk, and there was one restaurant open down on Amsterdam. It's a health food restaurant. And when I went in, they were just about closed, not completely. And I said, just want to, you know, just a bite. And the guy said, sure. And I'm sitting there at the counter. And I went to pay. And he said, no. He says, on me. I said, why? I said, that's nice of you. And he didn't know who I was. He had no idea, right? So it wasn't as if somehow he was doing something out of, you know, the thought of maybe he had heard the radio or nothing like that. No, not at all. He said, every time you come in here, you're always polite to everyone, and you go out of your way to tip people that otherwise never get tipped. You tip the hostess, the maitre d', or the person at the door. And no one ever does that. And we are the only person, and we always talk about, you know, this guy, he'll spend $18 on a meal and give us all these nice tips. And he said, you don't have to then. I said, no, I don't have to do any of that. I said, I choose to do it because I know how hard you work, and I know how demanding and demeaning people can be. And I know at the end of the day that it's good if someone does acknowledge, at least they're showing respect. So what I'm doing, I'm showing respect for you. He said, well, tonight I'm showing respect to you. But I was only $5. It wasn't the point. The money is not the point. Not even my tips are the point to these people. It's choices. I could have gone in there and never, you know, just gave a standard 15% tip or less, as most people do. Trust me, when I had my restaurant, the average tip was 8% for my audience. That's 8. The industry standard's 15, and people with any conscious appreciation for how hard people who work in restaurants have to do, they'd give 20 or 25, but 8%. So it's always nice. So it's, again, it gets back to choices. Now, we don't even appreciate what happens with the choices we make sometimes, but you keep putting good out. You put kindness out. You put thoughtfulness out. You look for the best in people. You try to be always facilitating something constructive, and you have nothing to feel bad about when you go to bed at night. Even if no one else in the world recognizes it, you recognize your own goodness. That is about making conscious choices, and that's one of the 10 steps that I talk about in the 10 steps to a joyful and happy life. So it's not as if we look, oh, I did good, I want good in return. It's as if I did good because I believe in good. Because otherwise, you can do something nasty. I had someone recently write me a letter saying I was a Hitler and all these bad things. And I said, well, gee whiz, you know, what makes a person say that since I never did anything to that person to deserve that? Well, it turns out in an extended conversation, it was about their mother. That they called their mother Hitler, and because their mother didn't recognize them, and because they were in competition with their sister, suddenly any authority figure who didn't meet their demands and means suddenly was vilified. Well, it's nice, you know, to look around, see how many times you become the whipping person of someone who is so emotionally detached from any sensitivity in reality, and yet these people can consider themselves spiritual. Well, that's their notion, not mine. Enlightened. Mm-hmm. Only an artificial ego needs to put themselves above other people. And yet, had that person said something kind or nice, then you approach them differently. In our world, we are going to be held responsible for the choices we make. If you have not always made the best choices and you want to start making better choices, call the station right now and ask for 10 steps to a joyful and happy life. And let's just see if you can't start making better choices, resolving conflicts, and being happier. Matthew?
Oh.